Chapter 11. Warning for Blood and Violence. Styles nods and gets in the cab. He's anxious, but not frightened. Not yet. They have an ace in the hole, something Arya apparently knows nothing about. A quick scan of the crowd reveals Ian climbing into the truck with everyone else. Arya hasn't noticed the Styles doppelganger hanging out at the back of the crowd. Or maybe she honestly doesn't realize that Styles doesn't have a twin brother. Once they're away from a ton of people, Ian can transform into something more than capable of handling one old woman with a gun. It's going to be a bitch to figure out how to handle this and then get home, but he will handle it. Maybe they can tie Arya up, leave her on the side of the road, and take her car. She probably has a phone, too. It's not optimal, but it's workable. Arya drives in silence, staring straight ahead. They leave the city limits in under 2 minutes, and soon they're on an old road with cracked pavement, leading out into a huge meadow. Styles thinks it was probably used for ranching at some point, but it looks abandoned now. "Where are we going?" he asks, just for the heck of it. "Somewhere that nobody will ever find you," she replies. "Great," Styles says. "I was afraid you were taking us back to the prison, and I really wasn't a huge fan of the service there." He thinks about asking more questions, but decides against it. Not until he's with the others, until he can have someone with werewolf hearing gauge Arya's reactions to his questions. They drive about half an hour, and finally pull up aside an old fence. He can see mountains rising sharply to their left. Arya grabs him by the elbow and crams her gun into his ribs, pulling him out of the cab on the same side as her. The werewolves are already piling out. Arya reaches into the cab, onto the shelf behind where they were sitting, and pulls out a much more impressive-looking gun, some sort of assault rifle. Arya gives Styles a shove, so he's standing with the others and covers all of them with her gun. Derek walks over and presses his nose into Styles' hair, nuzzling slightly, and says under his breath, "There are shovels in the bed of the truck." "Of course there are," Styles replies. "Why is this my life?" It's funny, but it's not. And sure enough, Arya's next words are, "Get those shovels and start digging." The werewolves all look at Styles. He folds his arms over his chest and says, "No." "Excuse me?" Arya asks, gesturing with her rifle. "Do you want to hear it in Spanish?" "No," Styles repeats, and several of the wolves snigger despite the situation. "For one thing, I refuse to participate in anything so cliché as digging my own goddamn grave. Secondly, if you're going to kill us anyway, as is obviously your intention, I have no fucking reason to do anything you say. So no, thank you, I will not be participating in the festivities. You want to bury us? Do it your goddamn self." Arya's glower deepens. "I thought you might want to die with a little dignity," she says. "You want to hear about what the crows and the coyotes will do to you?" "Why would I give even the smallest fuck what the crows and coyotes will do to my dead body?" Styles asks. "It's not like I'll be using it anymore." "Well, I thought you might want it to look okay for when your father finally finds it," Arya sneers at him. Styles' jaw tightens, and everyone in the pack exchanges a look, as if asking exactly how spectacular this blow-up is going to be. But Styles somehow manages to remain calm. "What's your problem with me, lady? I'm honestly curious. I've never met you before in my life, and now you're talking about returning my crow-pecked corpse to my dad." "We met at the Conclave," Arya says. "I met 90 people at the Conclave. I don't remember you." "You know who I bet you do remember?" Arya asks. "Agnes St. James." "If this is about that old bag, I can guarantee you that she deserved every molecule of what I gave her," Styles says evenly. Arya waves at them with the gun. "I worked my entire life for that Conclave. Did you know that? I had just celebrated my 75th birthday. I talked with Agnes on the first day about the fact that I was going to retire and take up my position on the Council of Elders. Only because of you, by the end of that conclave, there was no Council of Elders. That wasn't my decision, Stiles says. Doesn't mean it would have happened if it weren't for you, Arya says. So here I am, an old lady who gave their entire life for something and then got shafted at the end of it. For Christ's sake! Really? Stiles is trying to keep his temper, but failing. That's why you were a hunter. Really. For the recognition. Not to protect innocent lives, not to help people, but because you knew in 60 years you would retire and get what? The ability to boss around people younger than yourself? Are you fucking kidding me right now? If you'd actually given half a damn about what you were doing, people would recognize that and respect you because of who you were and what you had done, not because of some empty fucking title. You're gonna shut up if you know what's good for you, Arya says, her finger tightening on the shotgun's trigger. You want to kill me because you think I'm a threat to innocent lives like Stella Jones does? Then kill me. You want to kill me because I embarrassed you in front of your peers like Ruben Gutierrez did? Then fucking kill me. But don't you dare kill me because you think I'm the reason you don't get the fucking respect you want, because I can't begin to list all the ways that that is not my fault. How about I kill you because you're a mouthy little shit? Arya retorts. Stiles can't help but give a snort. If people killed me for that, I'd be dead 50 times over. He shakes his head. What's your play here? You can't kill us all before one of us gets the gun from you. Oh, I can with this baby, Arya says, giving it a little pat. It's got full auto. We've got a lot of tricks up here, kid. This thing can fire 30 bullets in 4 seconds, and I know how to use it. You think I don't know how to kill werewolves? She shakes her head. You know what the kicker is. A few of you could probably get away if you were willing to turn tail and run. But you won't. Werewolves just don't do that. All for one, one for all, and all for dead. Nothing's more predictable than a goddamn werewolf. In that case, you have a problem, a voice from the back says. Because we aren't all werewolves. Ian is shifting as he charges, and the others scramble to throw themselves to the side and get out of the way. He's roughly the size of a large bear when Arya pulls the trigger. Every bullet catches him right in center mass, but his momentum is only somewhat checked. He crashes into Arya and knocks her to the ground, his bulk practically shielding her from view. Now the others run forward, Derek and Boyd rolling Ian off and wrestling the gun away before she can continue to fire. Ian! Stiles skids to his knees beside the shapeshifter. His entire torso is a mess of blood. All right, Ian wheezes. He's still changing as he talks. First Peter, the Alpha, then more forms. One with black eyes, one with translucent skin. He's trying to find a form that can cope with the damage. She got me before I shifted. Taken worse. Jesus, Stiles says helplessly. Not sure what he can do besides let Ian try to deal with the injury. Lydia and Boyd are both next to him now, tugging off their clothes and applying pressure to the wounds, trying to keep him from bleeding out while he shifts. Abruptly, Ian's form changes back to Stiles. This was fun, hmm? He murmurs. A little bit of blood trickles out of his mouth. We should do this again. Ian! Stiles shouts. As the body shudders and then shifts again, flickering through forms so rapidly that he can't even catch them. Then abruptly, the shifter is gone. He's simply not there anymore, and Stiles is left with nothing but blood on his hands and the image of his own body dying behind his eyelids. He starts to sob into the dirt, hands clenching down on fistfuls of yellowing grass. Derek is behind him now, bent over his shaking form, trying to provide some measure of comfort. He's seen people die before, but never a friend. Somehow, through cunning and skill and sheer dumb luck, they've made it this far without any casualties. That was unpleasant, a voice says, and Stiles' head jerks up. Ian is sitting on the fence, once again wearing Stiles' face. What? You? Stiles manages weakly. I did tell you I was all right. Ian says, smirking at him. I'm very hard to kill, you know. I just had to hit on the right form. It's easy to avoid injury. Take the form of some behemoth made of rock, but harder to heal it once it's been dealt. He looks at Stiles with some surprise. You actually thought I was dead.
You looked pretty goddamn dead!
Stiles bites out, trying to hold back the sobs. A broad smile blooms across Ian's face.
I'm touched! You cried for me, Stiles! Do I get to join your pack now?
You can have anything you want, Stiles says weakly, slumping against Derek's shoulder.
Alas, I have to decline, Ian says. I'm too much of a nomad, but the offer means so much to me. Maybe you'll actually write back to me now.
Everyone decides to give Stiles a minute to catch his breath and regain his composure. Then Boyd asks, what are we going to do with her? It's an excellent question, and one that Stiles doesn't have an answer to. What he really wants to do is pick up her discarded weapon and blow her head off, but he's pretty sure he's not in the proper frame of mind to be making that decision. There's a long silence. Derek is finally the one who breaks it. His hands on Stiles' shoulders, steadying him.
I don't know if we can let her walk away, he says.
Stiles thinks of what Peter had said, how eventually they're going to be back to the wall, how they have to start taking enemies off the field if they want to win. He can practically feel the former Alpha breathing down his neck, urging him to do it. He's killed before. It's left a mark on him each time. But each of those times it had been an option of absolute last resort. Peter's circumstances had been unusual, of course, but both Sebastian Stone and Matt Daler had had either a literal or a metaphorical gun to his head. To his head, and the head of the people he loved. It had been the only way to stop them. It's not the only way to stop Arya. They have her down and disarmed. She's not an immediate threat to them, so they don't have to kill her. She's not a werewolf, not somebody who can break out of prison. They have options. He's sunk down into a meditative trance without realizing it, but somehow he isn't surprised to see Peter sitting on the hood of Arya's truck.
You might have only killed in those circumstances, but you've advocated death in other circumstances, like Ruben Gutierrez, because you were afraid he would come after you again.
Maybe I was wrong, Stiles says.
No, Peter says. You were absolutely right. You were preventing harm to your pack, acting on the threat of someone who had tried to kill you and yours. Arya is no different.
No, she isn't, Stiles agrees. But the circumstances are. Ruben was a small-time nobody. He had killed other hunters. Nobody cried over his death or wanted revenge afterwards. Arya is important. She's got allies. We're at war now. If I kill her, it's all the excuse the other hunters need to try to wipe us out.
You blithering idiot! Peter spits out. They're already doing that. Are you so blind as to what's happening here? What do you think this was, if not an attempt to wipe you off the face of the planet?
This was one woman with a grudge. One woman with a grudge who felt that the climate was right, that she could take you out without consequences, Peter says. And she was right. The other hunters will support her. At least two or three of them were probably in on this whole thing. For God's sake, Stiles, I see where you're coming from, and I know you don't want to look like a monster. But from where I'm standing, it is far more dangerous for you to appear weak. Stiles says nothing to that. Because Peter's right, and there's nothing he can say that will make him wrong. But he can't help think about what his father would do, or Scott, or Chris Argent. They're the ones who have helped guide his moral compass. He's not sure if they would advocate killing Arya, but he's sure of one thing. I don't have to make this decision alone, he finally says. Arya's in our custody. We have her secure. I can talk to the others. Thank you for your input, Peter. You're right, and I know that. But I can't just kill someone in cold blood if there might be another way. With you, there was no other way.
with Arya, there might be. And if she comes back and hurts the pack later, I'll just have to accept the blame for that.
Peter's gone without a word. Styles opens his eyes and looks at Derek.
What would you do?
Derek's quiet for a minute before he says,
I would kill her, but not here. It needs to be. It can't be legal, but we can't just shoot her in a field while she's unarmed and on her stomach. We need to take her back to the others and let them decide. And if execution is the answer, at least maybe it won't be blamed on us.
Styles nods. Okay, get her up. Does she have a phone?
You'd better kill me,
Arya spits out as Derek starts going through her pockets. If you don't want me coming after you.
Yeah, trust me, I'm well aware of that,
Styles says. He accepts the phone that Derek hands him and opens it. One bar. He goes through the list of recent calls and sees one that's listed as Vanessa and hits send. A brusque voice picks up almost immediately.
Hello?
Is this Vanessa Nazario?
Who wants to know?
Vanessa's voice is cautious, seeing that it isn't her sister making the call.
This is Styles Stilinski.
There's a long moment of quiet, and then an explosive sigh.
Fucking Christ! Arya beat me to the punch and picked you up from the hospital.
Yeah, Styles says. Then she took us out into a pasture and tried to shoot us.
Sounds like Rhea, Vanessa says.
There's another lengthy silence.
Did you kill her?
No,
Styles says.
Do you know where you are?
Not really, but I can get back to Cody. She didn't blindfold us or anything.
Don't go to fucking Cody. Bunch of pansy ass. Get back on the road and take it east instead. It'll hook up with Route 32. Take that north. After about 5 miles, you'll see this big gray barn on your right. Old abandoned place. You can't miss it. I'll meet you there. I'm a ways south. Might be an hour or so.
Okay,
Styles says. He hangs up and watches as the others load Arya onto the truck. He looks over at Ian.
You're really okay?
Good as new, Ian assures him.
Are you angry that I didn't kill her after she hurt you?
A puzzled look crosses Ian's face.
I couldn't care less, to be honest. I did leap onto a fully automatic weapon. I didn't exactly expect to get away unscathed.
Okay. Styles lets out a breath and decides he doesn't really want to drive.
Somebody who is not me, come drive the truck.
Derek gets behind the wheel, because he's the only other person who knows how to drive a manual. Styles sits in the middle of the cab, sandwiched between him and Lydia, while the others ride in the bed. Derek takes it slowly, and they hope they don't get pulled over. But the half-hour ride is uneventful. The abandoned barn is indeed impossible to miss. It looks like the setting for a horror movie. Derek pulls the truck around so they can't be seen from the road, and everybody gets out except Boyd, who's keeping watch over Arya.
Why did you call Vanessa?
Lydia asks.
Because she's been on the fence so far, and I'm really hoping that I can win some fucking brownie points by not murdering her sister when she so richly deserves it.
Styles says. Nice, Danny says.
What if she tries to murder us, too?
Boyd asks.
She won't, Styles says. She knows that Victoria would beat the shit out of her.
Well, God knows I'd be afraid of...
Boyd's voice breaks off as Arya begins to cough.
Shit, Styles, you'd better...
Styles is in the bed of the truck before Boyd can finish his sentence and sees Arya doubled over, coughing hard. Boyd eases her onto her side, trying to hold her steady, but her face is quickly turning red, then purple. Styles is practically paralyzed with indecision.
What if it's some sort of trick?
And helplessness.
Call 911, he says.
Derek tugs out Arya's phone, then groans.
No fucking signal.
Oh, Jesus, Styles says. We can't just...
And then Arya's cough gives way to a wheezy rattle. Her body convulses once and then goes still.
Jesus fuck, no!
He says, his mind scrambling frantically at possibilities.
What's going to happen if Vanessa shows up and finds her sister dead, after Stiles said that she was alive? What's going to happen when the other hunters think that Stiles killed her in cold blood? He should be relieved that she's dead, that an enemy has been taken off the field, that she won't be able to hurt him again. But he isn't. He's just upset. He's sick of death. He's seen enough of it. He just wants this to be over. "Give me some room," he says, starting chest compressions. "Danny, Lydia, go out to the road, try to flag somebody down. Maybe someone can get cell service or knows where the nearest hospital is." Danny and Lydia both sprint off. Stiles leans over and starts mouth to mouth. He's been CPR certified, although he's never actually had to do it before. The others watch in silence. It becomes monotonous, almost meditative. 30 compressions, 2 breaths. 30 compressions, 2 breaths. "Let me take over," Boyd says, after several minutes have gone by. Rather than trying to get Stiles just to stop, Stiles shakes his head and tries to catch his wind. "I'm already breaking her ribs. You'd crush her goddamn chest." He goes back to doing compressions. He read somewhere that those are more important than rescue breaths, but he's not sure, so he keeps those up too.
"Stiles,"
Derek says quietly, after almost 5 minutes have gone by. "Don't," is all Stiles can reply. So Derek doesn't. He keeps going, and all he can really hear is the rush of blood in his ears, his own heartbeat pounding and helping him time the compressions. He's lost in it, so much so that he doesn't hear anyone else approach, and he's startled when someone grabs him by the shoulder and tugs him off, and then out of the bed of the truck entirely. "Let me go," he says, struggling weakly, looking up to see someone similar in face and stature to Arya, but with shorter, darker hair.
"You've been doing CPR for 20 minutes, Vanessa says. "She's dead. Let it go."
Stiles collapses against the side of the truck, panting for breath. He's hot and dizzy. There's a strange metallic taste in his mouth. His vision is blurry, and there's a ringing in his ears.
"I don't feel good," he says, trying to hold back the sobs.
The day is coming that he won't be able to anymore. He's long overdue for a good old-fashioned nervous breakdown, and he keeps hoping that he'll be able to put it off long enough to get back home. A strange look crosses Vanessa's face, a combination of realization and pained concern. She takes out a bottle of some brownish liquid. "Drink this," she says. And when he hesitates, she barks, "Drink it. All of it." Stiles takes a few swallows. Vanessa nods approvingly, and then turns back to her sister. After a minute, his stomach settles. He's able to breathe again, and his vision clears. "I didn't kill her," he says to Vanessa. "I swear I didn't."
"I know you didn't," Vanessa says. "She killed herself."
Stiles blinks. "Wait, what?"
"Suicide pill," Vanessa says.
When Stiles just stares at her, she says,
"Some hunters keep them under the tongue during a mission, in case they get bitten or horribly wounded or whatever. Arya usually didn't, but she probably decided going into this one that she'd rather die than fail. Anyway, that's why you got sick. You must have ingested a bit of poison when you were giving her mouth to mouth. The tea helped flush out your system."
"Oh," Stiles says.
"Arya was..." Vanessa lets out a breath. "We're a family full of women who are all too damn proud to know what's good for us," she finally says. "And Arya was old. She was dying and she knew it. This is how she chose to go. Stupid, if you ask me, but Arya never did. Can you stand?"
"Yeah, I think so." Stiles gets to his feet. His legs feel wobbly. Derek is almost immediately beside him, getting an arm around his waist. He takes several more deep breaths, staving off the panic attack for another day. Vanessa pulls out a tarp and throws it over Arya's body, then drives her truck into the barn.
"Well, I'll deal with it tomorrow," she says. "You guys need a break."
Stiles wholeheartedly agrees, but he can't help but laugh when he sees that Vanessa drives not a pickup truck, but an old miniature school bus.
Nice,
he says. Gotta get around with large numbers. Only a few ways to do it, she says. And they load up. Gonna drive you down to my cousin's place in Green River. It's getting late. I've arranged for someone to come pick you up tomorrow.
Okay,
Stiles says. He's so exhausted that he doesn't even care who. It's all he can do to stay awake for the 3-hour drive. The place where they end up looks like a real Old West ranch, all warm wood and decorated in animals. Stiles doesn't care. Vanessa says she'll get them some food, but he's asleep before it arrives, curled up in Derek's embrace.